ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
It is absolutely necessary that we all get together, we work together, we respect each other, we like and love each other.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
I'm getting tired of people running from me in the ring. Mike Tyson, Holyfield, you a bunch of bums. Stand up and be a man and fight a real fighter.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million-dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide on WBC TV. Often imitated but hardly duplicated, 37 make that 38 plus years now of being on top. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your host. I'm also an award-winning writer, won some awards for my writing, and won some Golden Glove titles. So supposedly I know a little bit about boxing, but guess what? The average fan, I always found out they have a different insight, maybe a different perspective. So I open the toll-free at the top of each hour just for the average fan, 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, it's also the more popular no-commitment text line. You can text us here in the studio. That number, 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. Well, it was a big weekend of boxing. We go down the weekend of results. Of course, like 10 or 12 fights were on TV of note. I kid you not. So boxing is alive and well. Of course, I thought the best performance of the weekend probably had to be shared between Artur Bitabev, of course, he knocking out Marcus Brown in a blood fest, and of course, Jake Paul starching Tyrone Woodley in one round. But wait, we're not done. Cienesis Estrada was a winner. Amanda Serrano was a winner. So the bottom line is Amanda Serrano says she wants to fight Katie Taylor. Now that would be a fight for, that would be a great fight for women's boxing. I mean, women's boxing needs a couple of epic Ali Frazier type of fights with big names, okay? Those are two big names. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. About 40 minutes past the hour, we'll be joined by Sir Kenneth Rainford. Of course, boxing's very own, our very own Knight from the UK. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV.
Muhammad, he's looking bad. Ken Norton just hit him in the jaw. I wonder if he broke that same jaw. Angelo, ask Muhammad, is his jaw broke? I'm in the ring, ring.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
What did Muhammad Ali's wife call Muhammad Ali? Muhammad. That's all I heard Lonnie call him, Muhammad. Never heard Lonnie refer to him as anything other than Muhammad. Straight up, Muhammad Ali, may he rest in peace. Of course, if he touched you, and I didn't have to touch you physically, but if he touched you, if you were around him, this and that, you felt the aura of Ali. You just felt it. And when I took him places around the world, of course, we went to a couple different countries together. It was a unique experience in that it was like traveling with God. And I kid you not, why do I say that? When Keith McMurray, and Keith says he didn't do this. Keith said he lost his passport, wink, wink, over in China. I think he sold his passport for $2,500. That was the rumor I heard, that he sold his passport for $2,500. Now, remember, we're in the People's Republic of China, 1993, the first fight crew to ever go over there. I've never been a boxing match, Americans over there since 1949 when Mao Zedong took over in the communists, okay? So boxing hadn't been around since 1949. We're going to have this brawl at the wall. Ali is with us. We have Leonzo Barber defending the WBO light heavyweight title, I believe, in the main event. Mike Weaver was there, all kinds of good people. But the bottom line is the Chinese were like bringing us down there for the very first time to do this, okay? So when I watched Ali and he would go places, like at one point in time, we stopped to train in the middle of nowhere. Ali said, stop to train. I said, yeah, who are you talking to? He goes, you. Me. Points at me. Stop the train. So stop the train in one of these villages. Because we're watching these little villages, these Chinese villages go by. It's like watching like MASH. You ever watch the TV show MASH? We see those little villages in Korea. Well, this was China. Sage, Asia. Same thing. Sort of. Anyway, so we're driving by these little villages in the train, and Ali says, stop the train. So I go up to the conductor, says, hey, you know, I got my Chinese translator with me. Stop the train. He said, I ain't stopping the train. Nobody tells me to stop my train. I said, you got to stop the train, man. He said, nobody tells me to stop the train. And basically, I said a few words that even he understood. I mean, believe it or not, people understand Mother Ducker. They understand that in Chinese. They do. He understood it. He stopped the train. Okay, so he stopped the train. So we all get off, And I guess he blew the whistle. And he stopped the train, blew the whistle, and there was a village, and only had one wire coming into this village, one electrical wire. People were still going to the bathroom out in outhouses, things like that, little shacks behind their house anyway. Houses with, you know, no electricity. I mean, these people had no teeth, no dentist, the whole nine yards. But they knew who Muhammad Ali was. They came running up to the train, and like, you know, because the train doesn't stop in their town, their little village ever. Never saw a train stop before. So the train stops. So that's a holiday in itself. And guess who gets off the train? The most prolific person in the entire world, if not the universe, Muhammad Ali. They just couldn't believe it. A couple ladies fainted, one guy fainted. I think we may have caused a coronary over there for the one gentleman because he was just holding his heart, you know. I like the big one, like Red Fox, like he was having a big one. I kid you not. But if Ali made these people's, he made their day, okay? He just did. Certain places we went, when he touched people, I mean, he made you a better person, but he made changes, and he made changes silently. I mean, he could direct us to do things silently. Like when we had, you know, he went like that. He wanted the money. I had to give him $400 one time for these Catholic kids. Catholic kid back. It was a Catholic convent in Macau where these deformed kids. One kid had one arm. Imagine one arm, and then the kid only had one eye. And these really deformed kids, badly deformed kids. And these nuns, these Catholic nuns, were taking care of them at this convent for this Catholic convent. So anyway, we went there. Ali said we want to go to a hospital. He took us there. That's where the bus driver ended up taking us. We had to strong arm him too, because they only want to take you to where they're supposed to take you. You know what I'm saying? In China, that's the way it is. If you go, you're going from point A to point B. They want you to go from point A to point B. They don't want you stopping in between, screwing things up, messing things up. Well, that's just the way we do things here. There's no doubt about it. But Ali was a wonderful man, and when he touched people and he got out of that train, you could just see it. I mean, we were in Vegas. I remember we went to the hospital. In another hospital we went to in Macau, went to a hospital in a convent. We went to another hospital, we went to a lady's room. And he heard that she was a big boxing fan. And he said, any boxing fans here? He goes, what if a lady likes watching your fights? Really? How do you know that? Well, she talks about Muhammad Ali and boxing all the time. So Ali went in there, and he woke her up. Now imagine this. Imagine getting waken up. You got no idea. You're in Macau, China. You got no idea what's going to happen when you open your eyes. You don't even know if you're going to open your eyes. You're in a hospital. So she opens her eyes, and Muhammad Ali is holding her hand. Freaked this lady out. She almost had a coronary. But she didn't believe it at first. And then he kept rubbing her hand. It's me, it's me. Anyway, it was wonderful. I there's some pictures that the photographer took, Howard Bingham. He took some pictures that I don't know where they're at right now. I hope they're in his collection. But, man, that was a special moment without a doubt. I mean, everywhere Ali went. And then, of course, when he came back to Keith McMurray, who sold his passport for $2,500, he says it was stolen out of his bag. Wink, wink. Anyway, I think he sold it for $2,500 cash, because $2,500 back cash back in 1993 was a whole lot of money, okay, especially in China. So anyway, I think he's back to him selling the passport. So he has no passport. You can't get on the plane. You can't get out of the country without a passport. You're in the People's Republic of China, a communist country, without a passport. You can't leave. He didn't go to the embassy. He didn't go anywhere. He didn't go to the nothing. He just showed up at the airport without his passport. So guess what? He got on the plane. How did he get on the plane? Muhammad Ali walked him on the plane. Just walked him right past Chinese customs. Hey, how are you? Walked him right on the plane, got him on the plane. So then we get to L.A., and I said to myself, okay, Ali, you know, pulled this magic and walked him through customs or the immigration process in China. Walked him through twice. They walked him through in Macau. And then walked him through in Shanghai. So anyway, he walks him through, then we come back to L.A., and he's got no passport. So how's he going to get in the country, right? He didn't get detained. Keith McMurray wasn't detained. Sir Jabalot was his nickname. He wasn't detained because he was with Muhammad Ali. Ali walked him right through U.S. Customs. Imagine that taking place today. Probably not. Okay, but the bottom line is, the reason why I want to bring up Sir Jabalot, of course, Keith McMurray, wasn't the, his father was a pretty good fighter. I think his father used to train with Muhammad Ali. But Sir Jabalot was running, I believe, in Vallejo, California, about 15 or 20 years ago, maybe longer. He was running about 15 or 20 years ago, jogging in the morning, about 5:30 in the morning, and he saw a house on fire. And what did he do? He kicked in the door and rescued the people inside. So that's what kind of class act Sir Jabalot, Keith McMurray, is. So I wanted to bring him up. Now, pound for pound, these women fighters, of course, Amanda Serrano, winner last night, says she's going to step up to 135 pounds to take on Katie Taylor. She's got like all kinds of weight classes. She won weight world titles in Amanda Serrano. She's like 42-1. I want to see her fight Katie Taylor. Katie Taylor comes from Ireland. If she's willing to go over to Ireland and make it even a bigger event, she's 23-0, coming to us from Ireland. She could probably pack the biggest arena in all of Ireland. Whatever they got there, 50,000 seats, Katie Taylor could sell it, I kid you not. But pound for pound, the best woman in the world of women's boxing right now is Cianessa Sestrada. 22-0, I think 22-0, no draws. She can punch. She's a minimum weight fighter, meaning she's 105 pounds. But I think she's got to step up to a 112 pounds and take on the flyweight champion. I mean, in other words, these women, in order to make women's boxing work, they've got to fight each other. The big names have got to fight each other. But as long as you've got people like Jake Paul paying women $275,000 to appear on their card, I think that's great for women's boxing. It's great for, listen, women never get paid. How can I put this? Sometimes, like, Tristy Martin made good money, but most women don't get paid big money. I remember when I had a couple of chicks on the card here in San Francisco, don't get mad at me, but she got $100 a round. I mean, that's what she was getting, what the guys were getting. It was back then, it was in the 90s, we give them $100 a round. Imagine that, fighting for $100 a round. And that was the competitive wage at that point in time. Yikes, talk about a world of slaves. Yeah, that's the world of combat sports, both boxing and MMA. That's why I say that, you know, Dana White is the biggest pimp of all time. There's never been a bigger pimp. Nobody has ever exploited people greater, human exploitation greater than Dana White. And why do I say that? Pete, how can you say that? You've done business with Dana in the past. You and Dana were somewhat fist bumping, you know, buddies, this and that. You talked to him. But it's because he's taken arrogance to a whole new level. And when you want to, if you don't want to do his thing, if you don't want to blow him, when he says blow him, you got problems. And I got problems with that. In other words, you know, you've got to take the fights he brings to you. And it's not like your manager goes out and gets you fights in the UFC. No, no. The UFC gives you the fights they want you to take. And if you don't take them, guess what? You get dropped or you get burned or they put you in a death match, a certain death match. When I say certain death matches, you know, fights you're not going to win. You're going to take a horrible beating because, you know, as usual, Amanda Nunes, so I try to say as usual, fighters don't last very long in the world of the UFC. The only fighter I think is, that lasted a long time of late has probably been John Jones. He's inactive, but Amanda Nunes, of course, the world bantamweight champion and the world featherweight champion, both 135 pounds and 145 pounds. She was knocked out, or taken back, choked out, submission by Juliana Pena. That was like in the second or third round of a fight, of a title fight the other night. What I'm trying to tell you, she was like a 10-1 favorite going in. A 10-1 favorite. 10-1 favorites aren't supposed to lose, but they lose in the world of mixed martial arts because of the fact that there's so many different ways to lose. There's so many different ways to not win. I mean, it's just, it's yikes. And Dana puts people in these death matches after death matches, and you don't get paid much. I mean, here's what's up. If you take a death match and you get your ass kicked for $40,000, $40,000, I mean, you know, what's that going to, how are you supposed to, like, feed your family on that? No. And most of the people that do fight for the UFC have got, like, 9-to-5 jobs, work as electricians and truckers and all that kind of good stuff, and drive buses and do anything they can. At the end of the day, though, Dana should be paying them because, good Lord, they made $279 million last year. Guess how much of that they gave to the fighters? 10%. They made $279 million, and they gave the fighters 10%. Pound for pound, still the woman's best boxer in the world, Cianessa Sestrada. A toast to you, princess. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. This is the Insider's Look at the World of Boxing and MMA, live on WBC-TV.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council. Who's that lady? Who's that lady? Sexy lady. Who's that lady? Beautiful lady. Who's that lady? Beautiful lady. Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council, right here on Sports Byline.
You know I'm high on Sinesis Estrada, no doubt about that. But straight up, Marlon Esparza is the WBC flyweight champion at 112 pounds. Looks like they're going to hook it up. She's 11-1 with only one knockout. She was a winner last night over Annabelle Ortiz, who Estrada beat in her prior fight via decision, I believe. The scores are 188, 95, 99. Come on, how can a score be 188 and one judge have it? Like, it's only a 10-round fight. So, I mean, it was with 12 rounds of 10 rounds. Two of those rounds were scored 10-8 rounds, two-point rounds for Marlon Esparza. How can you have that? And then one judge having it 95-94 and the third judge having it 99-90. How could three judges be all over the place on that? Something's wrong there, folks. Something's wrong there. So maybe these judges need to look at that tape and look at their scorecards again. No doubt about that, because that sort of stinks in my mind. No doubt about that. Pound for pound, we talked about Katie Taylor, of course, being one of the best women's fighters in the world. Right now, if you look at women's boxing, I think these young Mexican women from the United States, I think they're hot and they're ready to roll and they're hungry, and I think that things are going to roll and rock and roll for Super Bad Estrada. She's 22-0 now, 9 KOs. She can punch. When girls can punch, things happen, no doubt about that. It makes boxing a little bit more exciting. Of course, the Gennady Golovkin fight is supposed to take on the Japanese Mark Ryota Murata. Why do I say that? Because that's what he is. WBA and IBF middleweight titles were on the line. It's going to go down December 29th. That has been postponed. January the 1st on New Year's Eve, on New Year's, Luis Ortiz, a Cuban heavyweight that's like 95 years old, going on 99. He's going to take on Charles Martin, the journeyman from L.A. That's an IBF heavyweight eliminator. January the 7th, three fights on Showtime, all unbeaten fighters, they say. January 15th, the nondescript Joe Smith comes back against Callum Johnson for the WBA light heavyweight title. And on January 22nd, a man emerges from the side of a milk carton. A side of a milk carton. I'm talking about Gary Russell's going to take on Mark Magaez for the WBC featherweight title. I never see. I don't even know. If you show me what he looked like, I'd probably know who he is at that point. And guess who's coming back on pay-per-view? I can't believe this one. Keith Thurman's going to come back on pay-per-view against Mario Barrios. That sounds like something Floyd Mayweather's putting together. You know, Floyd thinks that Gervonta Davis is the king of pay-per-view. Well, if that's the case, why won't Steven Espinoza and Showtime release the Gervonta Davis Pitbull pay-per-view numbers? Why won't they? Because they were horrible. He doesn't want to. There's just no doubt about it. December 25th, Fox has got a card going with a guy named Vito Milinicki taking on Nicholas DeLamba. That's going to be welterweight. It's going to Christmas Day. ESPN Plus is going to go Andrew Maloney and Froilan Suledar at bantamweight. It's going to go ESPN Plus December 21st. December 18th. And nobody picked this up too much, but, you know, Facebook Watch is doing fights now, and I think that's pretty cool because if Facebook is going to do fights for free, more power to them. But guess what? We've got the WBC TV channel. That's our concept. That's what we're trying to do now. The idea is for the WBC to allow fighters and promoters to put their cards in some type of video form up on WBC TV, whether we need to do the audio again over in the studio or we can do it live, this and that. We can do live productions or delayed productions. But the bottom line is we're trying to show boxing promotions from around the world, maybe some that wouldn't get any television action, trying to get them some TV action. Now, best fighter of the week, I guess you're going to have to go Zerto Ramirez. Looked pretty damn good. He just did. I mean, him and Artur Bitabev, these guys are headed for a 175-pound showdown, no doubt about that. Of course, Gonzalez coming down from 200 pounds. He was the WBO cruiserweight title holder for a long time, I believe, now at 175 pounds. Him and Bitabev, that is a fight at 175. As far as Canelo is concerned, stay away from Listen, Bitabev is just, I think he's unbeatable right now because of the fact that he's so big and he's so strong, and I just can't see anybody imposing their will on him. I just can't see it right now. It ain't going to happen. Straight up, that's just, you know, some guys are ready to make a move on. That's not a guy you're ready to make a move on. Speaking of making a move, David Lemieux, of course, and David Benavidez is going to hook it up for the WBC super middleweight title. Of course, the champion, the current champion, is sort of on a hiatus as far as his title is concerned because he's stepping up to 200 pounds or 190 pounds to take it on a guy who's, I have a hard time with his name, so I'm not going to go into it again. But the bottom line is he's going to take on the WBC cruiserweight champion at 190 pounds, which I'm not, how can I put this? Size matters in two things, combat sports and pornography. This isn't pornography, but this is a rough game of combat sports. And sometimes a guy can just impose his will because of size. There are times when you can just have that. Size does matter. Then again, you've got Canelo Alvarez, the pound-for-pound king, without a doubt. I mean, you know, Floyd Mayweather's still throwing rocks at him. Floyd Mayweather beat him in a decision like when he was greener than guacamole. He had two left feet. maybe two right feet. He couldn't walk as far as boxer was concerned. Had horrible footwork. I mean, Canelo Alvarez was really green at the time. He wasn't. Canelo means like cantaloupe, like a, you know, cinnamon, something like that. He was green like guacamole, okay? He just was. So he loses the fight at a point in time where he doesn't know a whole lot, but he's the number one pay-per-view star as far as Mexicans are concerned. And Floyd Mayweather obviously wants to tap into that Mexican pay-per-view market, being the Mexican assassin. That's what he used to call himself and things like that. Him and his uncle Roger Mayweather, may he rest in peace. So anyway, they put together this fight. He made, you know, Floyd makes all kinds of money. And then 10 years later, Floyd's saying, you know, Canelo's not this, Canelo's not that, Canelo's not this. You know, if you guys fought again, it wouldn't even be close. So I'm really tired of hearing about Floyd Mayweather. I'm tired of Floyd Mayweather. In fact, you know, I go back to that rub that we had. Where was that? Was that in San Francisco? I was in Vegas at the Top Rank. I think it was outside the Top Rank gym when he said, he kicked off the press conference by saying, you know, I want to recognize the best boxing writer in the world over there, Pedro Fernandez. And about 10 minutes later, I was questioning him on his superstar or the lack of superstars on his resume. And he said to me, what do you know about boxing? Baba, you don't know nothing. I said, about 5 minutes ago, I was the best boxing writer in the world. That's Floyd Mayweather. Anyway, Floyd, I wish you would just go away. Just like rest in peace. Like you're, as far as a fighter's concerned, I don't want to say you're dead, but you're not fighting anymore. So you're non-existent. Boxing shouldn't be, you shouldn't be talking about you boxing. You talking about your boxers, Gervonta Davis, guys like that. Okay, I'll go with that, but not you. Speaking of 135, Gervonta Davis and 135, they got to settle the score. 135's got Ryan Garcia. Hector doesn't like him. Sock doesn't like him. I like him. Anxiety attacks or any other personal issues he might have. I think he's tall. I think he hits hard at 135, and he's got good range, and he really, really, I mean, I think when he puts it the pedal to the metal, I think Ryan Garcia is going to turn out to be the real deal. Crossing my fingers on that one. Gervonta Davis, not too sold on him. Why? When has he fought a good fighter outside of Leo Santa Cruz? Leo Santa Cruz was like a, and I'm not trying to say this is demean small people or little people, but he was like a midget. It was like a midget compared to, I mean, you know, Santa Cruz like peaked at 122 and he's fighting this guy at 130 and yikes, man. It was just like, you know, Santa Cruz was doing well until he got caught. Once he got caught, it was lights out for Leo Santa Cruz. And I think he's pleasantly retired. Kid, take the money you made off that fight and just go away and go buy yourself a house and be happy. No doubt about that. So the rest of the 135-pound crew, of course, we've got David Haney from the City by the Bay, San Francisco, California. If I ask the mayor, London Breed, who Devin Haney was, I don't think she would know. I just, not too many people know who Devin Haney is. It just, you know, he's just not a household name. And then, of course, you've got the world linear champion, 135 pounds, George Kambosos. Nobody knew who he was until a few weeks ago either. Of course, I told you he might have been a little dangerous because of the fact that they were postponing that fight time and time and time again. I'm talking about the match he had with the upset of the year against Teofimo Lopez. You know, this fight was scheduled 5 or 6 or 7 times. It kept getting postponed. And I knew that it was going to have its toll on one guy or another. And Teofimo Lopez, having his weight issues, having problems making 135 pounds, dying to make 135 pounds, not having a dietitian, supposedly, letting his father do things for him. His father's a manager. His father's a manager who didn't put a rematch clause in the contract. His father's an idiot, a buffoon. I'm sorry, I don't mean to want to insult all the buffoons out there in the world listening to this show, but the bottom line is, Teofimo Lopez Sr. is a buffoon. I mean, as a trainer, as a, just he is. He was dancing in rounds his son was getting whooped on in the fight. He's out there dancing, he's a salsa guy. Mr. Salsa, kid you not, during the rounds, this guy should be arrested for impersonating a trainer. And guess what? He doesn't do very good as a father either. You're tuned to Ring Talk, Live Worldwide, and WBC TV. After the break, we bring in Sir Kenneth Rainford, Boxing Ambassador of the UK. Spend big bucks to top your wardrobe, but somehow you know there's much more to the trip. What is hip? Tell me if you think you know. What is hip? If you're really hip, the passing of years will show you in a hip trip, maybe hipper than hip. What is hip?
Well, I'm on Ring Talk, and as you know, this is one of the first shows that got onto the internet. My friend Pedro is a true fighter in his own mind, I should say. But he really is. I seen him exercising the other day, getting ready for somebody. I don't know who it is, because everybody is taking shots at him, so I see him getting himself in good condition so that he can fire back. Never been one to say die, never been one to hide out. He comes on, damn near torpedoes, full steam ahead.
40 minutes past the hour, hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV for Sunday, of course. Coming to you from the Sports Byline Studios in the City by the Bay, San Francisco, California. So we take it from the City by the Bay to the UK and bring in Sir Kenneth Rain from Boxing's Goodwill Ambassador of the UK. How are you today, sir?
I'm good. I woke up this morning.
Oh, okay, that's good. So tell me, man, what's happening with Anthony Joshua? Have people totally lost faith with him, or are there really some still believers in the UK?
There's some believers, Pedro, but, you know, the longer he's out the limelight, the sooner people will just forget about him. You know, there's so much happening at the minute where, you know, he needs to get back in on track. He needs to get back in there and win his titles back or fight someone of note.
You know, you call him a poor man's Frank Bruno. He's really the rich man, but he's really the rich man's point, Frank Bruno, because he made a whole lot more money than Frank ever did.
Made more money than anyone. I think he's been very well managed. He's been very well protected. And even with all that protection, he's picked up two losses.
Yeah, because you know what? You can't make chicken soup out of chicken spit.
Yep, correct. Yeah. That's exactly it. And, you know, there's so many fighters out there that for me would beat him. Obviously, Tyson Fury, hands down. Deontay Wilder would knock him out for me. You know, it's... He's nowhere near and never has been the number one.
Okay. Boxing in the UK. I mean, I'm watching all these fights from around the country. The UK has got fights as far as on DAZN's concerned. What's happening with the Sky Sports thing and Frank Warren? What's he doing with his fighters? Does he have to go to Barry Hearn, DAZN? What's going on with that?
No. But Frank Warren has a real good setup with BT Sport, which is equally as big as Sky over here.
All right.
BT Sport pick up all Frank Warren shows. Frank is doing well with them. He has no intention of looking at Sky. Sky Sports are, as you say, they've become HBO. Once they were there, now they're not. They're picking up bits and bats of fights here and there, but nothing really exciting, you know?
Mm. Hey, Frank, does Frank Warren talk to Terry Marsh?
No.
Okay, inside joke there, folks. The inside joke was that Frank Warren was shot by a masked assassin who was thought to be Terry Marsh. I told you what Terry told me when I asked him if he did it, right?
Yeah, you told me.
Yeah, he like winked his eye, said, why would I do something like that? Winking his eye. Anyway, bottom line is. And, of course, Frank Warren was also the guy that got knocked out in one round by Mike Tyson. And was it in Scotland?
Manchester.
One round KO victim. So I guess you know Frank's got a bit of a resume. But can he give Barry Hearn a run for his money?
Definitely. Frank Warren's always been there. You know, he's come back with Tyson Fury. You know, he's got other fighters. On the horizon. There's definitely work out there for Frank. Big time. I mean, you know, to be honest with you, DAZN carried the Chisora Parker fight last night. I don't know if he calls it or not. For me, Parker came in 10 pounds heavier, and he was putting short bursts on, and he didn't have the gas to finish Chisora off. So for me, although he looked okay, them 10 pounds hurt him last night.
That's what I thought. 251 pounds. I don't think guys should be wearing. He's just not that big of a guy as far as putting on that kind of weight. And he looked a little loose around the waist. Now Oleg Usyk, the underdog, of course, he's southpaw coming to us from the Ukraine, training now in Oxnard, California, I believe. Is that what it says? Oxnard, California. Anyway, it's 19-0, former cruiserweight champion. Can he beat Tyson Fury?
No.
Why?
He's just not big enough. Tyson's got that huge height, that huge reach. When Usyk comes inside of him, he'll tie him up. Tyson's just too awkward for him. I just can't see Usyk. I can see Usyk beating a lot of guys, but I just can't see him beating Tyson Fury.
But as a heavyweight, he sort of looks like Pernell Whitaker. He's got better moves than me. I mean, he's got some killer moves. He can faint with his head. He can faint with his hands. He can faint with his feet. Not too many heavyweights can do that, let alone fighters.
No, I agree with you. And he's one of the few fighters that's in shape. You know, he always comes in shape. You know, I like him around, you know, around 210 or a bit less.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I just can't see him quite having the tools to beat a man like Fury, who's 6'9" and every bit of it. Awkward as you like, sometimes horrible, but he's effective.
Sometimes horrible. We're talking with Sir Kenneth Rainford, of course, our boxing ambassador of goodwill, telling us from the UK. What's happening with Josh Taylor?
Well, he's lining up. He's lining up all kinds of fights at the moment. I'm a great believer in only taking one fight at a time. But he was in the press the other day announcing, you know, that he's putting together a calendar of fights. Real good fighter. But I'm a fan and believing in don't look past your next opponent.
No, you never look past your. There's always a finals or the championship fight at the end of a tournament, right? But if you can't look past some guy in the semifinals, you're not getting to the finals.
Yeah. Well, our good friend failed twice at that. Mm-hmm. Big Larry Holmes, when he fought Mike Weaver and Ronaldo Snipes.
You know, I asked him who hit the hardest, and I told you what he told me, that your buddy Ernie Shavers hit the hardest. He said that Ernie Shavers was the only guy that you can see the punch coming and still get knocked down. Because I don't know about you, Kenny, but every time I don't want to brag about this, but the few times that I was knocked down in my life, okay, I was always knocked down with hooks. I mean, anything you throw at me, I can absorb from the front. Is that sort of the same with a lot of guys?
Yeah, yeah. Well, they always say, a good trainer always tell you, the punch that gets you out is the one you don't see.
Good point. Are you surprised that Bob Arum is still rocking and rolling and pushing things as hard as he is at 90 years old? I mean, in the UK.
You got to love Bob Arum. You got to love him. He won't give in. He won't roll over. He's staying there to the bitter end. You know, like him or hate him, he's put on. So him and Don King, for me, are the two greatest promoters evermore. But, you know, there's a lot of people who don't like either one for either reason. But for me, you know, they've given us such great fights, you know, Hagler, Hands, need to say more, you know.
In 89, you know, 89 or 90, I can't remember what year it was, we were sitting together in Las Vegas, and he said to me, "Hey, Fernandez, you do coke?" And I go, "No." He goes, "That's good." He goes, "You a big drinker?" I said, "No." He goes, "I didn't think so, because I tell you, if you want to drink and you want to do coke, look at these guys here. They're got one step on. Whoa, whoa, whoa." So basically, Bob Arum was calling him out there. So I'll never forget what he ended this story. He ended that little quip with, "If you stick to the weed, kid, you'll be okay." And Bob Arum is still smoking weed at the age of 90.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's smoking a lot of weed, Kenny. He smokes. Of course, it's legal now in Nevada and most of the United States. Now back to the UK boxing scene. Tyson Fury is going to take on Dillian White. Is this going to happen? Is it set in stone?
Barry Hearn keeps telling everyone when Dillian White knocks out Tyson Fury. When Dillian is he trying to sell something that is definitely going to happen, or is he trying to sell something that he's going to accuse Tyson Fury for sidestepping to take, you know, someone else on? I don't know. I'd like to think it will happen. My main worry with Tyson Fury at the moment is that he can get motivated for a race of a Dillian White and a Joseph Parker and people like this, you know, because, you know, when you got the life that he's got now, he's flying all over the place. He's just come back from Florida from doing a business tour. As you know, he called in on Bob Arum and wished him happy birthday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it worries me when I see fighters doing these kind of things, because camp is where you spend your entire boxing career. When you're not in camp, you're at home with your wife and kids. But when I see fighters running around, don't get me wrong, you know, it's a great thing to be able to do.
No, no, no. Let me cut you off. Riddick Bowe. I mean, remember they had him going all over the world meeting the Pope, and then he threw his WBC title belt in the trash can in London and things like that. But Riddick Bowe, I can't remember his manager's name, but yeah, they had him thinking all kinds of stuff, and he was the next Ali, and look what happened to him. He just fell apart.
Correct. And this is what worries me about Tyson. You know, he's such a nice guy. He's very approachable, and he'll do anyone a favor. He's that kind of thing. He needs to get back now after Christmas, focus on getting back in his camps and his training, and and stay in the one place and get ready for these fights, no matter how big or small they are.
The former voice of HBO boxing, and no, I'm talking about Harold Letterman, Jim Lampley, said that he thought Tyson Fury was a big fat slob.
Yeah, but he looks like that's the reality of it. Is he's just got bad genetics? The whole family are sort of built like that. You know, they carry a lot of midsection weight. And listen, you know, let's not paint a bad picture here. The picture is Tyson Fury likes a drink. He likes to drink big time.
You know, I had the impression he had a few drinks the other night when he was wearing that 1969 Summer of Love jacket.
Yeah, he loves a drink. You know, he's been on tour in the country over here doing a meet the fans UK tour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not slagging him off. I'm saying it the way it is. You know, he's probably drunk on half of them.
Okay.
You know, he likes to drink and he likes food. So he's never going to be a Mike Weaver. He's never going to be, you know, a Ken Norton. He's never going to be anything like that. He's a very gifted fighter in the sense he has a good engine. He has good stamina. And he's got a good boxing brain.
And he's big. Oh,
listen. And he's massive. He's not big. He's massive.
Okay. Sergey Kovalev is saying that that Canelo is better than Andre Ward. Of course, Andre Ward, the 2004 Olympic gold medalist, retired undefeated after winning a title at 168-175. Kovalev fought both these guys. Ward was thinking about a comeback, and I think he was working in the Caleb Plant camp there, training with him. And I think after Plant got dispatched by Canelo Alvarez, he sort of put that comeback wish. Yeah, he ain't coming back, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, talking to Canelo. Canelo is pound for pound the best out there at the moment. But if he's going to talk about bouncing around the weights, let's see him fight Beterbiev, you know?
No.
That would be one hell of a fight.
No, you hear me saying no. I'm not saying no from my perspective. I'm saying no from the Canelo perspective. I mean, that's the guy. Listen, I thought about this. Kenny, when I look at guys on TV, I don't know if you do this, but I look at him and I see, how can I beat this guy? How can I beat him? Can I beat him with moves? Can I beat him with speed? Do I have to use power? And I don't know how you beat Beterbiev. He's 17-0 with 17 knockouts. He isn't Muhammad Ali. He isn't Ernie Shavers, but he's something in between.
Yeah. He's a workhorse. He's a machine. He's durable. He's nonstop. You know, that is a bad fight for Canelo to take, but a great fight for us because we get to see, you know, maybe another version, albeit a longer version of Aglaher Hearns, maybe.
Oh, you know, I was there April 15th, 1985, in the outdoor arena at Caesars Palace. I don't think anything will ever be quite like that. It was like mass hysteria. Kenny Rainford, Sir Kenneth Rainford, how's your daughter doing?
She's doing great, doing great. She's doing fine. And you talk about watching a fighter and how to beat him. Jake Paul beaten within 2 seconds.
Okay, well, that's the subject for another day. All the best. Kiss the kid. We'll talk soon.
Take it easy, buddy.
The great Sir Kenneth Rainford from the UK, our boxing ambassador from the United Kingdom. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
The mighty saxophone, the mighty Tom Pulitzer of Tower of Power. You have turned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Let's check this out. Lightweights performing in the past few weeks. Of course, Gervonta Davis, I give him about a C-plus for that performance against the Pit Bull. Vasyl Lomachenko gets an A for that performance last week, although an A-minus. Nobody gets a perfect score here. George Kambosos, another A-minus performance. Of course, taking out Teofimo Lopez. Lopez getting a D-minus performance, failing against the aforementioned Kambosos. Devin Haney gets about a C for that performance. I mean, against Joe Diaz. Straight up, what am I trying to tell you? Ryan Garcia, of course, is the lost guy. And Lomachenko, of course, beating Comey last week. I didn't go into depth on that one. He knocked Comey down before decisioning him in 12 rounds. He said he sort of had mercy on Comey. That's why he let him go 12 rounds. Comey's really, really a nice man. I mean, he's very proud of his heritage being from Ghana, things like that. He fought with all his heart last week. There's no doubt about it. And you know what? It's unfortunate he was second in ability because he's not second when it comes to heart. Straight up, we want to wish Richard Comey the best as far as his future is concerned. You are listening to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, 37, make that 38 plus years now. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, we come to you live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio Channel 217, twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. And now we come to you on Vive TV. That's WBC TV. Of course, the World Boxing Council is our sponsor. You can check out their interactive website at WBCboxing.com. They've got everything from diets and nutrition to fight scores, upcoming bouts, to ratings, you name it, all kinds of stuff going on. And then you've got the president's message. We're talking about Mauricio Sulaiman. Of course, he's a big advocate of vaccinations, as am I. Why do I say that? Because I got a call this week from a boxing guy. He doesn't want to say his name, but his wife died from COVID, and she wouldn't get the vaccine. He got the vaccine. This is terrible. This is within the same house. In other words, she died, he didn't. He got the vaccine, she didn't. You see the coincidence? No coincidence there, okay? The person that got the vaccine is still with us. He's burying his wife who didn't get the vaccine. So don't put your husband or your wife or your mother or your sister or your friends or anybody like that in that type of position. Please, go get the vaccine. You have been listening to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, 37, make that 38 plus years now, of knocking out all bums. That's what I do. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Of course, we come to you each and every Sunday at 11 a.m. Pacific time for 2 hours on Sports Byline. And, of course, we come to you on Saturdays for an hour on Sports Byline as well. You can check out our shows at sportsbyline.com live and, of course, Sports Byline USA, the Twitch channel. We got it going on. Until next time, keep your hands up, keep your chin down, but most importantly, keep that butt of yours off the canvas of life. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Until next time, peace and a ton of respect. It ain't easy to walk away.